Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Burton Clark. Welcome to Leadership on the Line. Today's topic is doctoral studies in the fire service. My panel today are Chief Ron Coleman, Dr. Harry Carter, Chris Emil, Battalion Chief Brent Batla, and Dr. Sarah Tarr. I'll be back in a moment to discuss this topic.
Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
Welcome back to Leadership on the Line. The topic today is doctoral studies in the fire service. The questions are, do we need them? What's the purpose of it? How do we go about it? Why should we do it? I've got a very distinct panel today. The first person I'm going to start talking to is Chief Dr. Harry Carter. You're all very familiar with his work. Harry is a front page columnist for Firehouse.com. He's written thousands of articles over the years. He's got some 43 years in the fire service. He retired as the division chief in the Newark, New Jersey Fire Department. He's presently the chairman of the board of the fire commissioners in Howell Township, Fire District Number 2 in New Jersey. And he just completed his PhD at Capella University, where he studied organizational management with a specialty in leadership. So I guess, Dr. Carter, give us a little overview. What really is the purpose of a doctoral education?
As I was taught, it's to advance the knowledge in your field. There will be a point at which you start. You will find something that you wish to study. You will do research on that, present the research, and if it is found correct, you will have advanced the knowledge in your field by that quantity of knowledge you delivered.
How about from a personal standpoint, what would you say the purpose of a doctoral education is?
Well, I would say, in my case, it was to further develop my inquiring mind. Way back in the 1970s, I remember a commercial that had a very simple question at its core. What if? Well, I took that and I added a few other questions. What if? What about? How about? And how come we're not? And I kept causing problems in Newark until finally I decided to retire and cause problems in a wider venue. That's the problem with knowledge. When you enter an arena with new knowledge, you start to tip over existing carts filled with people who do not possess the same knowledge or own less knowledge or have a deep and abiding fear of knowledge. So in my case, I wanted to advance the level of knowledge in my field, and I wanted to make a better thinker out of myself.
Thank you, Chief. Dr. Sarah Tarr, Sarah just completed her PhD at Syracuse University. Her research looked at SCBA, self-contained breathing apparatus, training in the fire service. I had the privilege and honor to serve on Sarah's doctoral dissertation committee. She's continuing that similar kind of research. She's doing a follow-up study that looks at Firefighter 1 training in various communities and in how that curriculum impacts and is correlated to firefighter line-of-duty deaths. Just as a commercial note, Sarah is looking for sponsors. So, Sarah, the same kind of question to you. Since you don't really come from a fire service background to begin with, you kind of came at us from an academic standpoint. What is the purpose of doctoral education?
I believe Dr. Carter had it correct in that what we're trying to do is we have ideas, we have concerns, questions, issues, and a lot of expertise out there that we would all benefit if we knew more about that. And when you start doing a doctoral program, you get to play with that a lot. You get to massage it. You get to have people laugh at you. And you get to also go the extra mile, find out what has been done before, how your ideas can help other people solve problems. There's a lot of talk out there about theory, and one of the things that you can do with a doctoral program is to actually develop new theory. And theory is what will help the cross-discipline application of what we're doing here, because if we can prove it with theory, if we can propose a theory about what our ideas are, then other people come along and they say, that doesn't work, or yeah, that does work in this context. So it's about massaging ideas, but it's also about showing how what has been done in the past can really be applied to today with a little tweaking. So we never forget what happened before. We're always finding ways to incorporate that.
Well, super. Thank you very much. Next, Battalion Chief Brent Battla. He's with the Burleson, Texas Fire Department, where he's the training chief. Brent just completed his master's degree at Oklahoma State University in emergency management and fire studies. Brent is also the co-owner of TrainingDivision.com, which is a fire and EMS training company. Brent, you were kind of dumped into the whole higher education academic community, and you were exposed to lots of PhDs teaching you stuff, supposedly about emergency management and the fire service. What do you think that the whole idea of the purpose of a doctoral education is all about? I know you're not there yet, but you're thinking about doing it.
Yeah, I guess speaking as the rookie here toward doctoral education, I am going to go on towards a doctoral program. But one of the things I noticed, like my colleagues here said, was that it does make a organization or a trade or whatever more professional. And you know, the fire service has been founded on years and years of tradition and years of best practices, and a lot of those best practices have never been studied out. Why do we do this? What's the theory behind this? Is there a better or safer way? So the fire service is wide open for education and doctoral studies. You can pick almost any topic and study it. And, you know, a lot of doctoral students have a real problem finding a topic for their dissertation that hasn't been studied, but the fire service is pretty wide open. And I'm going to use an example of best practices. A lot of people are using compressed air foam in the fire service. And you have the argument, compressed air foam versus water, you know, the benefits. And people take that and just use different experiences they've had. But to my knowledge, that particular subject has not been studied out in a doctoral program. Let's get some engineers, let's get a bunch of resources and find out what's best for the fire service. So doctoral education in the fire service will really, really advance the whole service and the professionalism of the service in the United States and, I guess, the world if we lead it. So,
well, that's great. Thank you, Brent. Sarah, let me come back to you with that kind of lead-in that Brent gave us about this need for research in our discipline. My next question is, does the fire service need to be studied at the doctoral level? You came to us not from the fire service. What was your motivation to then take your curriculum and education background and apply those theories in our environment? And do you see a need for our discipline to be studied more at that level?
Absolutely. And it's just the same as Brent was talking about, how there's not a lot of attention paid to how people think about teaching and learning. And also that there's just nothing being done about how the practices of teaching and learning have happened in the past. So for me, as a doctoral student looking for a project to focus on and get engaged in and have passion about, the fire service is definitely a wide open field because there's just hardly any studies being done. I got into it because I was looking for something that I knew I could make a difference in, and I was very engaged in study with the fire service from the very first project. I was looking at trying to make an instructional model design for the fire service and hit it off right away, and that was 3.5 years ago, and I still see a lot of opportunities for further research, and that's why I'm continuing with the implementation of curriculum in the fire service.
For those other non-fire service doctoral candidates that are listening to this show, I think big, would you recommend the fire service environment for a place for them to apply their specific specialty?
Absolutely, and in any specialty, anything in engineering, anything to do with information, communications, organizational development, all of those things are in dire need of attention in the fire service.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Sarah. Coming back to you, Harry, you and I have had this discussion before. Some of our colleagues think that once we start looking at the graduate school level study of the fire service, we need to get away from the hand-eye coordination or the tactical kinds of things and get more into management and administration. And my argument is that's okay, but where is the expert at the doctoral level in engine company operations? Do you want to take that on for a bit?
I would be glad to. Building upon what Brent said earlier, there is a need to affirm the anecdotal experience we use as the basis for many things we do. He mentioned compressed air foam versus water. Well, actually, it's a trichotomy. It's water, Class A foam, compressed air foam. No one is studying. I believe I know where the money can be found to do this through industry contacts I have, but it has to be hashed out. Further, going back to what you and I talked about the other day, Bert, straight stream versus fog. There is really no solid engineering research done on it. If you think about it, all that we do in the area of hydraulics is based upon the work done by Freeman in the late 1880s. And they say the theory has not changed. Well, I believe even if the theory has not changed, the application and use of the theory has changed by practitioners. And the job of the researcher, which the doctoral level is research-oriented, is to create proof that things work or don't work. My doctoral program studied the impact of leadership on recruiting and retention, on retention in the volunteer fire service. 100% connection.
But, yeah, I told you the story. One of the things that brought that home to me, I was reading some non-fire service research stuff, actually in the medical field, and there were two postdoctoral students, medical students that were postdoc stuff now, and they were studying sutures. And their research was actually came up with a better knot to tie for suturing. And I thought, wow, you know, they've been tying sutures for a long time, and yet that discipline understands the constant need to go back and re-examine through good scientific research what people do right now to see if there needs to be changes. So that certainly cements the need for that in my mind.
Well, further than that, Bert, the girl that was on my doctoral committee is the student learner at Capella, Dr. Maureen Hammer from the Virginia Department of Transportation. And I have been talking about going down and doing a postdoctoral study of tacit knowledge in the fire service. Not the book knowledge, but the knowledge that's in the heads of people. And I've already approached Chief Charles Werner of the Charlottesville Fire Department to seek permission to do a study of the loss of tacit knowledge in his fire department, with hopes of building a program on how to retain tacit knowledge in the post-career mode for people. When they leave, what's in their head leaves. But there seems to me there has to be a way to get that knowledge, glean that knowledge, and then pass it on in an organized fashion. So this is just one of the many areas that need to be studied.
Great. Sarah, let me come back to you for a minute. And this may be an unfair question to you, but you're probably closer to the academic community than any of us are. When does a discipline or occupation transition to the point where the academic community sees it as valuable enough to be studied and have the higher education infrastructure to allow for advanced study in a discipline. For example, I happen to know that there's 5 PhD programs in the country on folklore. Where does the fire service have to mature to get at least one fire service studies doctoral program?
I think it's something that's homegrown, like everything. How did the folklore studies get done? Well, enough people were interested in it, and the scope of the studies were broad enough such that they could make a program about it. No school is going to make a program unless they've got a body of knowledge and a body of people who are interested in purporting that. So, in the fire service, because we've already established that all these disciplines can be used in the fire service, there's no reason why this can't be collated into a program somewhere, but you've got to get some momentum going here. As I understand now, there's not a whole lot of PhDs that have done studies just around fire service issues. If there was a way to bring all these together, make a consortium about this, and start to build program ideas, it's possible right now, Bert. We have people who are studying these issues.
That's great. Brent, if I can bring you in here, you just completed a master's degree program that has the concept of fire service or fire science in the degree title. But after you and I talked, you know, there didn't seem to be a whole lot of fire-centric material in what you studied.
Yeah, one of the things, it's going to be tough at first for a doctoral program in the fire service to develop and evolve because mine was a master's in fire and emergency management, and that was out of a political science perspective. So mine had a lot of political science type classes in it. But to get a class, you can break down fire service doctoral education as far as you want. You know, let's take and I like using examples. Let's take ventilation. You know, you have one level where we're teaching rookies, this is how you ventilate, and this is how you throw a ladder, and this is the size hole we want, and this is the size, watch out for this wind direction, and you want to ventilate here at this point. Or you can take it to a whole new level. I mean, have we ever studied the impact of the humidity of the Gulf Coast, you know, on the structural integrity of the wood versus somewhere else? Should we even be ventilating in these places? Is a risk versus benefit, you know, look at it from that perspective. There's a whole realm of studies that need to be done just in that one little itty-bitty thing that we do. So it's kind of tough to, because we don't have a studied out body of knowledge in the fire service at the doctoral level. And again, that goes back to me saying it's wide open for anything we want to do with it.
Well, let me throw this out to all of you. Is it the chicken and egg problem? I mean, we can't have doctoral students if we don't have doctoral level stuff for them to study, and we can't create the doctoral level stuff if we don't have people to create it. So that's the classic chicken and egg kind of thing. How do we get around this?
Well, Bert, I think that I'm on the cutting edge of helping to make this happen, because Capella University has asked me to come on board to develop a fire science program at bachelor, master, and potentially doctoral level. So I intend to do such things as create a marketing study to show the number of people in the fire service with master's degrees who would be potential students of a fire service doctoral program. So part of making the chicken and egg theory turn into an omelet is that you have to create an awareness that money can be made by the university. Sadly, that being the grease which makes the wheels of academe roll. So that's going to be part of what I do there, create an awareness within faculty who have really no experience, because I'm not under business or education. I'm in the School of Human Services, so they're going to have me teaching courses in organizing social welfare organizations until I can create the fire program. But everywhere I go, my object will be to plant the seeds. Social worker, hey, there's a need for social work studies in the fire service because of the shift stresses. There's need for staffing studies, because I made friends with the associate dean by mentioning, I can't find fire staffing studies. I have to go into the world of nursing to study nursing staffing studies, which happened to be where her doctorate was. So you just have to keep casting your ideas. Mm-hmm. And again, I remember writing a letter of recommendation to the administration at Oklahoma State advocating a PhD, but again, within the political science department, as Brent mentioned. But you're gonna have to be forceful advocates to do this. Now, I don't worry about you, Bert. I don't worry about Dennis O'Neill. Sarah's on board. Brent's going to be one of us soon. And Rich Gassaway, the chief in Roseville, Minnesota, is working on his PhD at Capella. So the key is we must be forceful, vocal advocates for the very fact that we have to create knowledge where mere experience exists. I've had this argument with the union for years now. I mean, they say it's all been studied. The O'Hagan study in 1984 proved what your staffing level should be. Well, yeah, at that point. How about, Brent, the impact of new building construction? Do we even want our people in burning buildings built after the year 2000? These things need to be studied, but until we can break through and get that first real fire program, we're going to have to come at it from all of the various other disciplines by interesting people who are not of our own, such as Sarah, who came forward and advance where we can and make progress when and if we can until we can crack through and have our own. But then, once we have our own, we cannot be so insular as to avoid contact with the other groups. That's what bugged me in academia. I mean, the statistics people didn't want to know anything but statistics. Same with quantitative analysis. I had a heck of a time convincing them to study fire things, but I succeeded.
That's kind of what I think. I kind of think the fire service is an interdisciplinary practice, mm-hmm. which uses theory from lots of different venues, but the environment in which we apply them is so unique. The example I use is, take chemistry and physics. You take a beaker full of something and do something to it in a laboratory, and it reacts in a very predictable way. You take a tank truck full of it and turn it over in the middle of downtown during rush hour and ignite it. It's the theory behind it changes, and we don't study it at that level. The other example I give is most labor studies don't take into account people that sleep on the job. And yet, career firefighters sleep and get paid for it. And then 80% of our occupation is done by volunteer service. So when you go to do a labor study, that's not part of the realm that they look at. And I think we suffer as a result of that.
I do have something to add to that. This kind of ties both of the ideas in by you, Dr. Clark, and also Dr. Carter. I was doing some research on safety culture in the fire service, and to find academic research, I did have to go outside our discipline, and I found some stuff that was pretty applicable, safety culture in aviation. So there's going to be a period of time where we're going to have to, like you said, it is interdisciplinary, and we're going to have to look outside and bring what we can find that's applicable in the fire service to our studies. But I think it's kind of a snowball effect. I think once we start having a few doctoral programs nationwide and we do start gathering this body of knowledge, I mean, think what it's going to be like 20 or 30 years from now when we have a bunch of doctoral studies that have been completed in the fire service and fire service specific degrees. Imagine how much more professional that's going to make us. We may come up with some breakthrough. Who knows?
Very good. And that leads us right into the next question. Sarah, I know you're new to this, and nobody's crystal ball is 100%, but what is the future of fire service doctoral education?
I think it really has to be in a virtual setting because of the huge diversity of disciplines in it. We have all of the technology and expertise we need now to make an effective program where people can be studying at any school, in any place, and working within the program. We can create the guidelines to make it happen so that we can work with University of Ohio, we can work with San Diego, we can work with John Kennedy School, anywhere. anywhere. It can happen. We can cross-pollinate with other schools and make a fire service program in a virtual world.
It sounds exciting. Harry, look into your crystal ball for us and tell us what you see as the future.
I think the future at the doctoral level, given the diverse audience, has to be at the online arena. Nice that you could devote a couple years of your life to going away to school, but practitioners within our field, if you are full-time, you have to be where you are to get your paycheck. But online, it's not easy. God, the first person that told me how easy it was, I could have smacked them. What it is convenient. It allows you to work your living tail off while sitting in your own office. And then it gives you three opportunities over the course of a career, four at some places, to come together for intense interaction with faculty to develop your relationships. But the basis is online. I taught online, and I had students that ranged from Florida to Alaska to Arizona to California. And the one thing they all had in common was a love for the fire service and a career in the fire service. Well, several of them have finished their masters, and now they would be the audience that the doctoral world would be seeking for. But again, online for this aspect, the fire part, I would say, has to be. Engineering, well, that's going to play out as advocates like Bert and Sarah and I and Dr. O'Neill at Emmitsburg move outward, make contacts, build networks, and create interest. That's the way I see it, Bert.
Great. And Brent, we're envisioning where you're going to go. So if you could create your own perfect doctoral program, how would it be done, and what would you learn?
Well, something that can be directly attributed to the fire service, research that will directly help us. Again, fire attack, ventilation, some of the stuff that we do at a very basic level, I would enjoy doing the research on it, especially at the engineering level. Again, I'll go back to the, compressed air foam versus water, or how we ventilate, or any of that stuff. That's what I would like to do. One problem I'm going to run into is, again, most of this stuff is coming out of the political science realm, and so there's a slant on it by universities because they don't have professors that have their doctorates in a fire-related field. They tend to slant it in a different direction. Ultimate world, I would like to get a doctorate's degree in something specific for the fire service. So I would like to say one thing I am excited about. I know Oklahoma State is pursuing getting their doctoral degree program in fire and emergency management, and it looks like it may be approved next year. So I'm not completely sure about the timeline they have set for that, but I do know they're in the process of working towards that.
Well, that's great. We'll be looking forward to that. Any closing comments or remarks that any of you might have? Let's go back to Dr. Harry Carter.
Bert, I can remember an engineering study I attended in Toronto at the NFPA meeting in 1981. And they were discussing an analysis of fire department deployment based on critical decision-making points. And they had created a computer program back then that broke down a fire ground operation through its various stages. Well, I don't know what ever happened to that, because it was never published at any venue that I would have read. We need things like that to happen so that you can have a doctorate in deployment analysis. How do we do this? How many people does it take to do a task? It's out there. It's doable. We just have to have the will to fight for it.
And the money sometimes. We don't want to lose that. I mean, there is the thing about what available funding there is. So schools certainly ask those kinds of questions. So that's the 500-pound gorilla in the room that also is going to have to be addressed. Sarah, what kind of closing comments or observations would you make about this whole topic of doctoral education in the fire service?
Well, I'll tell you that in the years that I had put in collecting data from the firefighters all over the nation, there are a lot of very clever, very ambitious, and motivated people who have excellent ideas, but they don't think they can do it. I just would like to let them know that when you get a doctorate, what you're really learning how to do is spell research. And so it doesn't matter where you learn that. It doesn't matter what program you're in. If you find a way to get that depth of knowledge about how to do research, bring your ideas forward. Let's work on it. Let's find a way to bring it to fruition so everybody can share in the knowledge and use your knowledge.
That's great. Thank you. And Chief Batla.
Yeah, well, mine is just kind of reiterating what Dr. Tarr said. I would like to give a word of encouragement to all the firefighters out there, and just kind of a personal story. You know, I hated school growing up. I was horrible at math. I had to work extra hard at memorizing things. I had a tough time with a lot of subjects. But as I've gone on and, you know, trudged through it, it's kind of getting to the point now where I'm being allowed to study what I love, and you know, that's advancing the fire service and some really neat things. And so when you get to study something you're really ambitious about, you tend to be good at it, you know, and ambitious about finishing, you know, some of your research, what you started. So I just wanted to give some encouragement to everybody out there that, you know, a PhD education may seem way far-fetched, but it really isn't. You've basically just specialized in your field, and your field is firefighting. So as we get this education going in the fire service, it's not far out there to think we should have, you know, hundreds of doctors riding backwards, you know. So that's my encouragement to everyone.
That's great. Doctors riding backwards on fire trucks. Hopefully they'll have their seat belts on.
If they're riding with the me, way, they will.
Well, my panel of guests have been Dr. Harry Carter, Battalion Chief Brent Batla, and Dr. Sarah Tarr. Sarah, congratulations on just completing your program. Harry, congratulations on completing yours. It's been my honor to know you all and work with you over the years. I look forward to great success in your continuing doctoral level studies and contributions. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more about this topic in the future. I'm convinced that 100 years from now, somebody will dig up this tape and say, boy, those guys were really on the cutting edge. Hopefully, some doctoral student at Harvard in the year 2100 will reference this tape as one of the first times it was discussed digitally over the air for posterity, and there's probably even some Martians out there that once it's broadcast will be listening to it. So again, thank you all very much. This has been Leadership on the Line. I'm Dr. Burton Clark. Thanks for listening.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.